This is Preaching Minister Rylan Brown, and I want to thank you for listening to this Minute with the Ministers podcast, where the ministerial staff of Little Rock Church sit down together and discuss what it means to follow Jesus in light of the sermon from Sunday. If you'd like to watch the full video of our conversation, please head to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Little Rock Church. And if you're interested in checking us out on the web, please go to littlerockchurch.org. We're a church that wants to love God and love others, and we hope through this time together, you'll be blessed. God loves you. Well, hey, Little Rock Church, we are back for our Minute with the Ministers, taking just a few minutes to talk about the sermon on Sunday. We're in Matthew 7:12. Jesus says, treat others the way that you want to be treated, for this is the law and the prophets. And fantastic teaching. Certainly, I think, harder to do. It's harder to do than, it's easier to say than do. It can be tough when we think through really what Jesus means. But as we say almost every time we come through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you build your life on what he says, you'll have a stable life. You'll have a full life. And that's what Dave, John, and I want, is we want that kind of life. And we just want to invite you for a 10 to 15 minute conversation on how we process Jesus's teaching in the sermon. So the first question that I want to ask you all, well, first, how y'all doing today?
Doing good. Doing good.
Everybody well?
Great fourth, celebrated a lot. So it was a good day. Good weekend.
Yes, very good. Yeah, lit some fireworks, a lot of fireworks, and it was, yeah, it was been a good weekend. So
that's awesome. Well, so Jesus says, treat others the way that you want to be treated, and that word others can be very broad. So in your all's mind, who's Jesus talking about when he says, treat others the way you want to be treated? Who's the others?
Well, I think it's easy to, when you first hear that, that you just kind of throw others like way out there, like you're casting a fishing rod, and it's like, well, it's going to hit somebody out there that I need to make sure that I'm treating right. And as much as it is, strangers that I'm walking into, strangers that I'm seeing here in the store or having small interactions with, it's harder to bring that closer. It's hard to reel it in. And allow it to be part of those relationships that are so close, the relationships that I do have at church, and the relationships that I do have at home, and allowing myself to even, hear that golden rule over and over in my head as I speak to my wife when something comes up in our family, or as I speak to my boys and trying to make sure, hey, this is what's happening. And even in the times of discipline or in the times of just that they're not obeying or not listening, that I have those moments to make sure, hey, I still need to treat them in a way that is very honoring and values what Christ is saying to me. And then allow myself to stretch it out that the others who are those that I'm not always running into the same circles or even have different values that I have on marriage or women's roles or, whatever else there is out there politically, that allows me to still say, no, I can have these kind of conversations and walk into a great moment where I still treat them with the most utter respect that they need. So, because that's the way I want to be treated too.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, I don't know if I have any insight. I think I agree with what John's saying. You know, we often think that the others are those people that are far away or the people that we may or may not encounter. You know, like if I were to ever encounter that run into that person, then yes, I will treat them well. But oftentimes we don't realize that it's the people that are in our living room or in our kitchen. It's the people that live right over the fence from us, you know? So it's those people that we may have a close relationship with, you know? So, and I think that's one of the things about this simple one verse is all the sermon was, right, Rylan?
Right.
This one verse sermon here that really makes this a challenging and very convicting word is treat others. It's treat everybody else that you encounter just like you would be treated. And that's a hard one, but also a very a big statement packed into one verse.
Oh, it's huge. Like. Yeah. It's easy for me to love and treat those unlike me in all the ways, morally. Man, I kind of get that. And I think I'm just drained in. I'm young enough where that's kind of drained in or ingrained into who I am. But I think it comes down to, for those of us, just like John said, the wife or the kids or the neighbor, if you would treat a total stranger better than you would those people, you're probably not living the golden rule like Jesus wants you to. And so, you know, I think all three of us would agree it's all the above. But, yeah. You know, for each, I think it's just great teaching because everybody can kind of take it where they're at. And we've all got those people. For some of us, it's family. For others, it might be people who are exactly unlike you. You know, that might be your thing where you really are very insular. You don't have any problem with that. And people who aren't like you, you really struggle with that kind of love. So, you know, it's just an all-encompassing teaching for us of it's all the people. But yeah, I think, John, you're so right. The people in our lives, the family, the kids, the people that we know, we got to keep an eye on our love for them.
And sometimes we measure that because of our our expectations of them, right? And that's the hardest part, is that we're kind of not only expecting them to treat us right, but we're expecting something out of them. I'm expecting something out of my spouse. I'm expecting something out of my kids. I'm expecting something out of my my parents. Mm-hmm. Because I have seen or been with them through so many of their experiences in their walk with Christ and their own life and things that are going on, that I feel like I need to have these expectations of them. And so now I'm having these expectations because of the same experiences, while at the same time I'm undervaluing how they've experienced it. And I forget to treat them with a little bit more respect or a little softer tone, or just being able to value their voice through those different experiences. So
that's good. Well, if we had someone come to us collectively, someone come to you and say, you know, I respect the teaching of Jesus. I've known people like this, and maybe you do too. They love the teaching of Jesus, but they do divorce the miracles. They divorce kind of resurrection gospel. And they look at something like this in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, hey, treat others the way that you want to be treated. That's kind of popular today. There's nothing there that's scandalous. A non-Christian could follow the teaching of Jesus here. So what would we say to someone who's like, I can do this without what the three of us would say is kind of gospel, following Jesus? What would we say to that person?
I would be, one, really excited. I mean, they're able to live out that command already. And so absolutely, that the way that they are treating people, the way that they are running into others, and the way that we even see in our you know, in our news and our culture of today, that other people are fighting for the rights of others. They're seeing, we're seeing some civil disobedience, so that there is an expectation for others being treated fairly and the justice system coming along. And so those parts are amazing and awesome, because I think that's still part of Jesus and his call to the kingdom expanding, is that everyone is giving value, or everyone is given value by the rest of the world, by us as Christians, by us as non-Christians. The only part where I feel like, you know, it does fall short is that experience of comfort from what we call from our God, who calls that in 2 Corinthians. I mentioned that last week, but just this miss of the community, the comfort, the ability to call upon our higher being, our Lord and Savior, to give us the strength through that.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of a big question, you know, and I've heard it worded different ways. Like, how come sometimes non-Christians are more generous than Christians, you know, or how come non-Christians are able to show more hospitality than Christians, you know? So, and then we got verses that you know, say, hey, you know, we're going to be known by our love for each other and our love for the people around us, you know? So I would say, you know, I'm probably going to side on I'm going to err on the side of, I think you really, to really do this well, you have to do it with Christ.
Amen.
It's basically Christ in you, loving people around you. Because I just think at some point, if you're just kind of plowing through and trying to treat others well in your own strength, I think that's going to be limited, and you're going to get burned out, and you're going to get burned. And it's just going to be just way harder than if we're loving people because Christ loves them, and we're letting Christ love people through us, you know? So I'm kind of, you know, hesitant. I really want this to be a Christ, you know, Christocentric kind of way of treating people around us. And I think, not that it's easy then, but I just think it's different when you start doing this kind of, in the spirit. You know, you're just kind of letting God's love that he has for us and for all people kind of flow through us. You're in a sense kind of getting out of the way. Then it kind of just becomes like breathing. You're just like, well, yeah, of course I'm going to help this person. Of course I'm going to do this. Of course I'm going to listen to them. Of course I'm going to try to encourage them. You know, a few months ago, it was like, of course I'm going to share my toilet paper. You know, like, why would I not do that? You know, it's kind of like, it's just a lot, not easier, but it's just a little bit different when you're not doing it in your own strength, apart from Christ, I guess, like you could say.
So. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So, you know, I think where I would come to is the along the same line of, for me, it's not just about loving. It's not just about treating people like I'd want to be treated. I think there is that next step of that sacrificial love to emulate like Christ in his power. That is just a little bit different. I think there's been some confusion for Christians. I don't think we're perfect. I don't think the church is perfect. You know, but if you know, the conversations I've had, I always thank the person. I tell them, I think they're probably closer to it than they think, you know, anybody who's kind of on that journey, but to not stop there, I think you have to keep going. At some point, there is going to be divergent, you know, within Christianity. At the end of the day, I think to be a Christian, there is to be in the sandbox of kind of an Orthodox faith of virgin birth, resurrection, and I'm okay with those things, but that doesn't mean that we can't work and partner with people for the common good. We believe that God loves all people. And so that's an okay, you know, I feel completely comfortable with that of supporting, you know, my fellow man, saying, yeah, there are some differences, but, you know, the ways that we can partner, you're absolutely right. You can do this without the things that make us uniquely Christian. But I think like what you said, Dave, you're going to get worn out if it's not Christ working through you. I think we could say a lot about that. But then, yeah. You know,
there's times that it kind of breaks our hearts because it's like, man, you know, this person's doing some amazing stuff, but they don't know Christ, you know? And yeah. So it's kind of like, man, I want you to come and experience this kingdom that Jesus is talking about, that's eternal and everlasting. And there's a heaven component, where we get to do this forever, you know? So it's like, don't just do it here on earth. Come and accept Christ and follow him. Make him Lord of your life, and you get to live this kind of life forever, you know? So it's kind of like, I want these people kind of with us, you know? So, yeah.
It's a shame when the church has gotten in the way of people kind of being that blocker for others, when the church has become the blocker for others, because they've seen sometimes churches aren't, or Christians aren't always, we can be hypocritical. Like you said, judgmental, and it's a balance. I think that we're going to talk about that this week in Matthew 7, I think verse 6, but don't give to dogs and pigs what is holy, which Jesus there, isn't it great? He's like, now don't judge anybody, but hey, don't hear some pigs and dogs. He just kind of ironic in his approach there. But as we think about this, you know, it is a hard and a challenging, teaching when we think about following Christ and what it means, Christ living through us. So is there an order of following Christ and our following Christ, or kind of this gospel idea of accepting his sacrifice, or what he just says here, just following his teaching? You know, what's the difference? How do we wrap our mind around that? I don't even know if I'm framing the question right. So help me out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the similar question is something along the lines of, not just can a person treat their neighbor well apart from Christ, but just if you kind of look at it in terms of, and John can speak to this too, just the whole idea of living a moral life. It's like, do we want to do that, you know, try to live a moral life and then maybe accept Christ later, or should we just accept Christ now and then kind of let him change us from the inside out, you know? And so it's like, what order does that happen, you know? And so, I think it's great if somebody just really enjoys treating the people around them well. I think that kind of can drive you to Christ. Mm-hmm. That can definitely kind of gravitate you toward the teachings of Christ, especially if you want to read the Sermon on the Mount. But at the same time, I think we have to understand that if you're going to try to live a good life or a perfect life before you come to Christ, similarly, that's a hard one. That's going to be kind of hard. I think you need to come to Christ first. Let him accept you for who you are and how you are, but he's going to refuse to leave you that way. So let him begin to transform you. Let him begin to work in your life, and then you can even see more of that fruit as we treat the people around us as we want to be treated. So,
yeah, definitely it's not a sense of order for one and then linear being two, but I do think it has this great flow from it, and especially for Jesus to be saying this on his Sermon on the Mount with so many people that are gathered around him that are part of the Israelites, that are probably part of his discipleship crew, that are not part of his discipleship crew, that he's throwing it out there for everyone to kind of pick up and say, like, as humans, as humanity, this is how you need to walk forward. And then when you just think about history and all these pieces where that this scripture, you know, absolutely addresses slavery, but it wasn't something that, you know, Christians for a long time or that we used or that we picked up in a way that was just like, let's just abolish slavery. I mean, that didn't happen for a long, long time. But when you start putting those perspectives in, like, man, there were so many more people that Jesus was inviting us all into, to respect, to treat like a human, and to have those pieces that evolve further than what our culture has been evolving. Because it took a while. It took a while for those things to happen. It's still not perfect. It's still not right. But man, when we listen to the scripture, it just bleeds into those pieces and into those stories where we have to use Jesus's blood to wash into those things and to either A, repent of times where I have not treated people respectfully right because I am a Christian and I should absolutely abide by these words of Jesus, to the points where I have to also just ask for that forgiveness.
No, that's good. So I think for me, when I look at the text, it kind of presupposes that these are followers of Christ. And so these texts really only make sense as someone is following Christ. And it's even like some of Jesus's parables, the parable of the prodigal son, he's coming down. The thing that's missing in that parable is the Savior. You know, it's this reconciliation without cost. I mean, there's the cost of the father giving away the stuff. And until you begin to think the person telling that story is the Savior. And so you can't separate Jesus's teaching from all the other things that Jesus said. So that's how I would kind of warn somebody. I'd be very excited, anybody who's kind of on this journey, even in maybe a limited way of wanting to follow Christ. And if that's where they're at, man, we just celebrate that's where they're at. But then I'd continue to push of, you can't separate the teachings of Jesus from Jesus. And you know, you do that, you get a social gospel, you get something that's half truth. It's not going to make sense. And so you got to come back to, this is still in the context of Jesus's mission and ministry. And it is a tough pill to swallow. Christianity is a tough pill to swallow. It draws some lines in the sand for people. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just kind of got to live in that tension, I think. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, I'd be just thankful anybody's on that journey. I'd be thankful and encouraging anybody who's checking Jesus out at any level. You know, and I would also say anybody who's Jesus following him is always good for everybody at any step of the way. And so, you know, like God's plan for what I would say marriage is good for society. It's good for culture. The way that God wants us to live, it's good news for the whole world, whether they accept Christ or not. But I think God wants everybody to accept Christ. But it's definitely, you know, as the West has developed since Christ, the world has gotten better because of Jesus. Art is better. Science is better. It's all better. And so he has definitely changed the world. These are good things to think about. Anything, closing thoughts as we go?
Yeah. You know, I as John was talking and he brought up the idea of slavery, I kind of thought, you know, there were a lot of people that were pro-slavery, church even, and churches. Mm-hmm. And that their abuse of scripture to kind of defend slavery. Again, I'm not trying to speak prophetically, but I just wonder, in light of what we're dealing with right now in our society, you know, call it the Me Too movement or the Black Lives Matter movement or whatever it is, even those things that you mentioned in your sermon, Rylan, it's kind of like we need to really take some time to kind of look at our lives and in light of what Scripture is telling us and Jesus has told us in the Sermon on the Mount. And we just need to make sure that that we're all kind of in line with the right, we're on the right side of things, I guess you could say, you know. I don't know if that's kind of trying to, I'm not trying to end all the divisions, you know, but I think part of what this verse is telling us, like you said, is whichever side you're on, you still got to pay attention to how you're treating people around you.
Amen.
And all I'm seeing is people posting stuff on social media. And I'm like, man, you're not treating people well with the way you're posting things. Yep. and the stances you're taking, you know, it's like, let's try to love God and love people, even on our social media accounts. So that's my closing word.
No, that's great. Yeah. I think like with the racism thing, I think racism right now is kind of an unforgivable sin. Or even racism and sexual misconduct, sexual sins. And, you know, we got to grieve for the things that have happened and be thankful for the things that are brought to light. You know, everything needs to be cast in the light. But, man, racism is unforgivable. Sexism is unforgivable. Things that happened 30, 40 years ago is unforgivable. And, you know, I would ask anybody watching this, can you take Jesus seriously with Matthew 7:12 to the racist? It's tough. You know, it's tough. And so, God's working on my heart on it, you know, revealing who the people in my life are that I don't treat, like I'd want to be treated. It's just tough. It is very tough. And so I think we've got to continue to grapple with it. And man, I applaud Dave, anything about social media. I purposely don't post stuff because I feel like my communication is not well enough to, it's hard to be nuanced. And yeah. So many of these discussions need to be nuanced. And like I said, yeah, I firmly believe what I said yesterday, all the things I said, but especially this, if I don't love people or if I'm right about something, but I don't have a heart for people that like God has them, I'm wrong on the issue, whatever it is, mm-hmm. just yeah. as a starting line. And, so it's easier said than done. Well, anything else?
Liking it.
All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Yeah. Bye everybody.
Bye.